Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So as impenetrable Moscow trial proceedings go, the case we're about to talk about here probably doesn't set any precedents. But as high drama between two of the most powerful people in Russia, it is a narrative like no other, and it's being closely watched by everyone in Russia. Clifford Levy joins us, Moscow bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon here.
Good afternoon, right? Let me just lay out the facts for most of our listeners here. On trial and actually sentenced yesterday, if you could actually hear the sentence in the midst of the sort of mumbling judge reading the sentence, which I gather is still going on, Mikhail Khodorkovsky, who is already serving, ending a term for corruption in prison, formerly the head of Russia's Yukos oil company, accused on crimes of embezzlement, is now convicted and is awaiting sentencing. Is this a test of the legal system of Russia or just a straight-out political battle between Vladimir Putin and this so-called oligarch, Mikhail Khodorkovsky?
Well, it's all of that, actually. I mean, there are a lot of themes swirling around here. The major one, of course, is what sort of example they want to make of Khodorkovsky. What sort of example does the Kremlin or Vladimir Putin specifically want to make of Khodorkovsky? You know, when he was first arrested and put in jail in 2003, it was seen as Putin's effort to send a message to the oligarchs, these tycoons who made millions, if not billions, of dollars in the kind of hurly-burly of the 1990s, to stay out of politics. And Khodorkovsky has been in jail since 2003. He was scheduled to be released in 2011. But there are presidential elections coming up in 2012. And the view here is that the Kremlin didn't want Khodorkovsky out before then. But, of course, at the same time, behind the scenes, there's speculation that there's a kind of a tug-of-war going on between Putin, the prime minister, and his protege, Dmitry Medvedev, who is president, who is seen as somewhat more progressive or liberal and has talked often about ridding Russia of what he refers to as its legal nihilism. And the question is, when we finally hear the actual sentence, what the judge is going to sentence Khodorkovsky to, we might have a clue as to sort of who came out on top on this tug-of-war between Medvedev and Putin, if in fact there has been one.
And what we've seen in some of these trials as something of a pattern is that the sentences are extreme, and then on appeal, the money aspect of the sentence is stripped away. But keeping these people out of commission and in prison, those sentences remain relatively untouched. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I mean, this could go in a lot of directions. One thing they sometimes tend to do is sentence people to lengthy sentences and then suspend part of it. It's considered a kind of a face-saving way to not make the prosecutors and not make the authorities look bad. So they could conceivably sentence Khodorkovsky, and I'm just speculating here, to 14 years, which is what the prosecutors are asking, and then suspend some or all of it. Or they could sentence him to 14 years and then after the 2012 presidential elections, suspend the rest of the sentence and release him. It's, you know, as you say, it's very murky. It's hard to really figure out what's going on here. And it's especially hard to understand the motivations behind what the judge is doing.
And Clifford Levy, Moscow bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, it sets up this Mikhail Khodorkovsky, who is very much a part of the hurly-burly, as you call it, 90s. And Putin was very much one of the young Turks who took advantage of that sort of Yeltsin era to kind of ride a wave to power today. Is Mikhail Khodorkovsky the Andrei Sakharov of his day, a prisoner in a sense of conscience to the world?
Well, I mean, I think the Kremlin's defenders would call that nonsense. I mean, I think what they would say is that Khodorkovsky, like, made his billions in the 1990s in an illegal and unsavory way, that he took advantage of a weak government to amass these oil assets to create this enormous oil conglomerate. Of course, Khodorkovsky's defenders don't deny that maybe some unsavory stuff happened in the 90s, but they say by the end of the decade and certainly the early part of the 2000s, he was a reformer and he really wanted to create a new business model for Russia, a sort of a good business model, one that could actually compete with the West.
But wasn't the 90s all about a kind of Yeltsin-initiated fire sale where so much of the public assets of the Soviet era were sold off to people like Khodorkovsky?
Well, I think one of the issues here, what Khodorkovsky's defenders would say, is the issue is selective prosecution. In other words, Putin and his defenders essentially say that Khodorkovsky did a lot of bad stuff, if not murder. I think what Khodorkovsky's defenders would say is whether or not he did bad stuff in the 90s, all the oligarchs did. Why did you only then go after Khodorkovsky? And the answer they give is that because Khodorkovsky dabbled in politics in the early part of this decade, Khodorkovsky challenged Putin, and as a result, Khodorkovsky got punished.
And Putin's former employer, the KGB, no bad stuff there, right?
Well, that's, of course, a whole different theme.
Yeah, we don't want to get you off onto some sort of speculative zone there, Clifford Libby, Moscow bureau chief for the New York Times. What impact does this have on what Moscow wants to project on the international stage, either credibility in Afghanistan, relations with President Obama, relations with Europe, that sort of thing?
Well, obviously, foreign governments and foreign investors are looking very closely at this trial and at the outcome for clues as to where Russia is going in terms of the rule of law. And they look toward Medvedev. They hope Medvedev can bring about what he says he wants to bring about, which is a real rule of law, a real judicial system here that's not easily manipulated by executive power. On the other hand, some people just dismiss this case as an anomaly, as something that's very personal between Khodorkovsky and Putin, and something and a case in which you can't really glean a lot of kind of broader examples or broader resonance. You know, as an example, just in the last 2 weeks, Putin viciously attacked Khodorkovsky. Khodorkovsky viciously attacked Putin. And so it very much is a sort of a personal battle between these two men.
Although Putin may be playing into the hands of opposition politicians like Garry Kasparov, the chess celebrity who is supporting Khodorkovsky's cause, this could unite the opposition in a way that nothing else has.
Well, you know, the opposition has long been very fractious, and of course, you know, it's worth noting that Putin is not an unpopular politician in Russia. He is a man that many Russians believe has brought stability and some degree of economic strength to this country. While there is a lot of support for Khodorkovsky in the opposition, I wouldn't say among the Russian population in general there's much support for Khodorkovsky, if they even know who he is at this point.
All right. Does he want to run in the elections, Khodorkovsky? Is he on the record?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Does he want to run in the elections, Khodorkovsky?
I mean, it's unclear. I think it would be very, it's hard to imagine that the Kremlin would allow him to run for anything.
Right. Clifford Libby, Moscow bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times. Most people in Russia, however, don't believe the charges against Khodorkovsky. We're talking about the Khodorkovsky case. Mikhail Khodorkovsky, former oil oligarch, accused and convicted now of embezzlement and awaiting sentence. Clifford, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.